I took French for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years of my of my life throughout high school and college. And guess what? I'm still not fluent. I want to go to Paris and talk to someone in French, in France, en français, and not have them switch to English.
I was just in a Spanish-speaking country, and man, some of my friends, their language skills, they blew me out of the water. I was just out of my depth. And I said, you know, I really would love to be able to speak as well as these people abroad. What a delightful skill to have to be able to do so. So maybe I need to get into my Rosetta Stone era.
They're the most trusted language learning program, and you can use it on desktop or as an app. They've been trusted for 30 years with millions of users, and they offer 25 languages. They got Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and more. They immerse you. They don't do English translation, so you really learn to speak. You listen, you think in the language. It's very intuitive. You pick a language, you start with words, then you move on to phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention.
Whoa.
And their app has a built-in true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. They're convenient. Like I said, they have a desktop and an app option, and you can have a lifetime membership, which includes all 25 languages for all the trips you're going to take, all the language needs that you have in your life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. It's a steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Who Weekly listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/who. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/who today.
You will drain it. Yeah.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And here's a headline from Variety. Ruben Fleischer tapped to direct. Here it comes. Now You See Me 3.
I'm so
Lindsay,
I'm
your day
so
has
happy.
Come.
I'm
Your
like,
day has come.
I've been, my Google alerts for Now You See Me 3 and Now You 3 Me and Now You See Me Again and Now You See Me sequel finally all went off together in one big alarm. I got 12 emails that were all like, Ruben Fleischer, who I have never heard of, but like, I don't care.
He's quite prolific.
The rat from Ratatouille could be directing Now You See Me 3, and I'd be like, yes! Get it! What's his name? Ren?
Finally, the long wait is over.
They could have hired you to direct it. I would have been like, amazing!
Yes!
Here it comes!
It's his first time. I support it.
Fleischer said in a statement, there are three things in this world I absolutely love. Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson, and magic. Luckily for you, that's pretty much what the movies are.
It's such a good statement that it's just like, the people involved in the Now You Three Me, Now You See Me universe.
Now You Three Me.
Are so good at like acknowledging how dumb the whole thing is, but like just seriously enough. You know, that's how it's always been with these movies. They replaced Isla Fisher with Lizzie Kaplan, and they were worried that audiences would care, and audiences said,
they didn't even notice.
We didn't remember. We didn't know.
And also, they're going to replace her again.
You have to keep the gag up, like Audrey and Rusty in Vacation. Yes.
I do love that he's like, there are three things in the world that I love, a.k.a. there are three things in the world this movie will definitely have, and nothing else probably will be in it, like from the movies before. Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson, and magic.
Well,
everything
well,
else?
He can't say...
We don't know.
You can't say Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson, and Lizzie Kaplan because she may not be there.
Right. He all he knows is that in this third movie that we will be guaranteed to see Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson, and some magic.
I'm going to flip through this deck, and I want you to see one card, and not this one. That's too obvious.
Pay close attention.
That was too fast. I'll do it again. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you see one?
Yes.
Do you have one in mind?
Yes.
Now, do you see your card here?
No.
That's because you're looking too closely. And what have I been telling you all night? The closer you look,
the less you see.
I'm so happy for you. Like, this isn't even Hooey. It's just Lindsay.
This is my avatar.
You've been waiting for this for so long.
Yeah, this is my avatar.
So long. I'm so mad that I missed the Avatar post-credit sequence. I just ran out of the theater when it ended.
I can't. Well, it was funny because when it ended, I got up and people were still sitting there, like strapped to their seats. And I said, what's going on? And I was listening to the song and I was making a joke to somebody like,
Leona Lewis.
This song never really took off, did it? You know, because it's like barely recognizable as a song. Meanwhile, it should have been the biggest song in the world because it was Avatar's like theme song. Mm-hmm. And then nobody was moving, and the lights weren't going up. And I was like, there must be some sort of like sneak peek for Avatar 2. And then there was.
Yeah. And we saw, Jake Sully's child?
No, we don't know.
Navi child?
We don't know who that is, though. It could be. I mean, we just didn't say. It was like a teen Navi, and he was like talking to a whale. And you were like, wow. You honestly didn't miss much.
It was so funny that the moment the Avatar re-release ended, when I saw it alone with my 3D glasses on.
You were the only one there. I gotta get out of here.
There were two people like 30 rows behind me. It was in the big screen, but that made it even funnier because it was extra empty. There were so many rows because it was an RPX, you know.
I feel like you should have just turned around and been like, good movie, guys. And like,
no one was there.
Oh.
And when it ended, I was like, I have to know the Way of Water. Like, I've never needed to know the Way of Water more, but I suddenly needed to know the Way of Water.
The best part of Avatar, though, aside from the movie itself, which remains good, is they put the previews in fake 3D. Did you get that?
I didn't get those. No.
So instead of being actual 3D, they were just literally like migraine-inducing footage. So you'd like put on
Lyle L. Crocodile in 3D
and try and watch like the Amsterdam trailer, and you'd be like, you'd immediately get a migraine headache, and it was completely fucked up. It was like so messed up. I was cracking up.
3D has kind of fallen off. Is 3D a who now?
Yeah, 3D like didn't go anywhere after Avatar. After Avatar came out, everybody was like, 3D is the future, and then everybody was like, never mind.
We tried, and it didn't take. It didn't take.
It is great.
When it's good, I'm like, I like this. Let's move on.
You say that a little bit more excitedly?
Let's move on. We have a Met Gala theme.
That wasn't convincing either. Everybody's mad.
Oh my God, let's move on. There's such a good next story.
Okay.
It's about the Met Gala theme for next May. And people are already up in arms.
Yeah, people are mad.
It's very themmy, but we know the Who's are going to come out at the Met Gala. The theme is going to be Karl Lagerfeld, A Line of Beauty. Is this boring?
No, I'm just like, why are we celebrating him? I mean,
He died.
No, I know, but he sucks.
Well, that's the whole issue. It's like, why are we celebrating this fashion icon when he sucks? Let's celebrate someone who's not a piece of shit, who's also related to fashion, which I think is a very like valid argument. Sure.
Not that he was just a fashion icon, that he really loved the Met Gala. Like he was like the Met. He was a big kind of supporter and participator in this event. So I think that's kind of part of it as well. And then everybody was like, yeah, remember when he used to like yell at everyone and like just do awful things and say awful things?
Basically call everyone fat.
Yeah. He just like called everyone fat and said like, you know, just the most like Devil Wears Prada stereotypical bullshit that like you don't even think people say anymore, but they certainly do, you know? He said it all, baby.
That's exactly who he is. Yeah.
On People Middleton, Kate Middleton has a nice silhouette. I like that kind of woman. I like romantic beauties. On the other hand, her sister struggles. I don't like the sister's face. She should show only her back. Excuse me, sir. What?
I shouldn't have been laughing at that.
I know. I just feel like that's
just
crazy.
That sort of like brazen assholery is just
like, who asked? I know. Like, that's so me. It's also like, Pippa Middleton was not asking for your commentary. Kate Middleton is, yes, like a public figure, but her sister Pippa, like, get away from her.
Like, I haven't done the research to see what the context was for this interview, but it really does seem like, tell us what you think about Kate Middleton. And then he took the opportunity to just, like, throw Pippa Middleton into a ditch. Yeah, so anyway, this is why people don't want him to be the subject of the Met Gala, but it's just going to embolden Anna Wintour to keep this as the concept. They're not going to change this.
They're definitely going to keep it, but it just sucks because, like, it's one thing when, you know, the theme is broad and you can address whoever you want. This is like the theme is specific and people who don't like him, you know, they're like pressured into dressing Chanel or like dressing his work because he's done a lot of designing for different like labels in the past. And it just sucks because it's like, if you want to come to this, you kind of have to support this person and you're a lot like, and it just sucks to be.
Well,
or maybe you just don't.
You bring up a good point. You bring up an interesting point. This is going to give people the opportunity to make anti-Lagerfeld statements on the red carpet by wearing,
that'd be cool,
like defiantly non-Chanel Karl Lagerfeld fashion.
That'd be cool. Yeah. I would love somebody to like quote unquote, disgrace him by wearing his work in a way that he would never approve.
Oh, that'll happen. I think that now, now that you mentioned it, it's definitely going to happen.
And in that way, maybe this is an amazing theme. Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is a number, like an A1 opportunity for Whos to do this, because I feel like Thems are a little too famous, a little too nervous about making a statement like that here. But this is a prime opportunity for the up and coming stars.
Or
to, like,
maybe the Whos don't want to ruffle feathers, but the Thems will come out swinging.
What's next? Oh, great news.
This is technically still kind of like things that are happening, which is that they announced who was replacing. I mean, it's like topics,
things
but they're
that
more
are happening.
Like breaking news. Maya Jama, someone who we've talked about on this podcast, is revealed as a new Love Island host, which is huge.
Huge. Laura Whitmore was like, I got to do theater. I got to do more serious things. And Maya Jama was like, this is what I do.
She is the host.
Yes.
You know, in the UK, we talked about this. They have much more of a hosting culture there still. Mm-hmm. A lot of hosts.
I love that about them.
And she's
I love
the host of your favorite show, the makeup one, Face.
Oh,
Face
I know. Ding dong, darling.
Ding dong. Ding dong.
Ding dong.
Ding dong. Marvelous. Ding dong and thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Ding dong, Lee. Ding dong.
Ding dong, darling. Ding dong.
Maya Jama, whose last name is so fun to say, like her whole name is fun to say, is replacing Laura Whitmore on the hit ITV2 dating show after mounting speculation. I'll do it. Get it spelled like island. I'll do it.
Well, the thing about this was there are so many, you know, fun, beloved presenters in the UK, and I'm sure this was a hugely in-demand opportunity, right? Like, I'm sure people were clamoring for this.
I'm surprised they didn't replace him with a Love Island graduate, because that's what happened on The Bachelor, is The Bachelor is now being taken over by The Bachelors. You know, the former.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's so many of them, and they're all kind of, like, working in the industry. So I was watching Bachelor in Paradise. I don't recommend it. And it's being hosted by one of the guys, someone who's involved with it. Forget his name.
But Maya is so good at this. I also feel like it is, not that I'm a huge Love Island person like you are, but isn't
you don't really need experience. Is that what you're going to say? You don't really need any expertise.
Is there more to do in terms of, like, personality with Love Island than there is on Bachelor? There is, right? A little bit more?
I mean, the host doesn't really do much in general. So it's really more just being the face of the show.
But we know that Maya Jama is good. So this is a good choice.
No, I think it's great. Fine. Great. And also introduce her to an international audience. Because we've been trying and it hasn't really worked yet.
What I didn't know here is that the other person who was still in the running towards becoming the UK's next top Love Island host was a woman named Vicky Hope, who was another presenter who was also Calvin Harris's fiance.
Great.
She
didn't
get
it, though.
She didn't get it.
Yeah.
Yes.
They also wanted to maybe hire Maura, who is a big breakout Love Island star, who honestly was amazing on the show because she's Irish and was hilarious, but has not really done anything as exciting since. And they thought, oh, she could be good. And I think she actually would have been good.
This Vicky Hope woman, this Vic Hope person, have you ever heard of her? She didn't ring a bell for me, Vic Hope.
No, she's a model, host, whatever.
She's a model. She's a host. She also hosts. I found that she's hosting.
Remember when there were very loud rumors that Dua Lipa and Calvin Harris were dating? And I was like, he's engaged.
Yes.
Like, I swear to God. Not that that means you can't, whatever. But I'm just saying, like, there was literally just news about him and his, like, girlfriend. I don't even know who she is. Like, I swear to God, there's no way these are true. This is true.
And it wasn't. Dua Lipa loves to be potentially involved with someone only to, like, reveal that she is, in fact, not.
Yeah, but I don't believe the latest. I don't believe the latest she's not, but that's okay.
Well, we'll get to that. Will we?
We won't.
Maybe
we probably won't. No.
We won't. To them.
Back to Maya Jama. Maya Jama we were talking about her because she was engaged to Ben Simmons, the basketball player who was once famous for dating Kylie Jenner. Kendall Jenner.
Kylie.
And also was, like, famous for being a basketball player that was good, apparently. But they broke up. And then she was like, stop spreading the lies. But then, like, it actually was true that they broke up. You know?
I don't think that they actually broke up.
I think they broke up.
I think that they're not broken up because they keep doing this. This is, like, the third time they'll do a thing where they get press for breaking up. And then one of them will tweet something cryptically like you said, don't believe the lies. She said, don't believe the sources in the papers, please.
Yeah, but this happened so long ago, and since then, they like haven't been really seen together.
The most recent news about them was in the Daily Mail. It said Aussie NBA superstar Ben Simmons set to purchase $20 million Brooklyn apartment he picked out with his ex-fiance Maya Jama after they broke up so she could focus on her career. Okay, this all makes sense. I thought they were together. I don't really even know who these people are, but I really wanted them to last.
No, you did. You know who they are.
I really didn't.
It's Ben Simmons. I know who they are. And Maya Jama, your favorite host of Love Island.
How long should you leave it until you text them afterwards?
I feel like if you like someone, you just go for it. I've got like this little phrase. It's kind of like a bit extreme for your dating situation, but it's like, if you love someone, you should tell them, because hearts are often left broken with words left unspoken. Yeah. And it's like the same if you like someone, because you could go your whole time not telling them and playing games, and then they get a girlfriend.
So I should tell them I love them?
Not love, maybe. That'll be a bit strong, but to say I fancy you.
Let's move on to something that I don't even really necessarily want us to cover, but I do think that the kind of...
It's so funny.
The novelty of it is really interesting. Like, let's say we're not setting a precedent for covering anyone like this, but the way that this was covered and the way and what this actually is, when you hear it, you'll know, is novel to me. Do you agree?
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree, actually.
Right.
I don't want to really ever talk about Twitch streamers again, but this really was special and like uniquely hilarious.
So this guy is what, the number one Twitch streamer of Minecraft, which is like probably the number one game in ever right now, right? I mean, Minecraft is, right?
It's up there. It's up there with like Fortnite, yeah.
It was like, how is this guy such a popular streamer? Well, he's streaming like the most popular game. It kind of made sense to me once that was like a thing, because if a game is really, 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 really popular, then the streamer that's the number one streamer of it's also going to be really, really, really popular because people are into watching streamers of games that they love. Okay.
Yes.
So his name is Dream. That's what he goes by, Dream.
A couple weeks ago, people found out that his name is actually Clay.
His name is Clay.
Which is so funny. The name got leaked before the face because someone... But even Clay doesn't do anything, right? Like, so Clay doesn't help.
Clay Dream said, I'm going to reveal my face. The mask is coming off. I'm going to do a big face reveal event.
I think it's important. In case you're not familiar with Twitch streams,
yeah,
you don't have to show your face, but it is quite common. And it was very interesting that he didn't show his face. So he didn't even like to have the camera on. And if the camera was on, he showed his face, but it had like
a mask over it
that just has two dots in the where the eyes are and a smile.
The thing is that he said, I'm still probably not going to show my face when I stream. Like, it's still his style. He isn't like face shown, like here's my face, honeys. Like, now I'm a model. He still was kind of like, I don't necessarily want to like stream with my face.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. After he revealed the face. Yes.
Right. So he was waiting to reveal face, and it was the rollout of this face reveal, hashtag face reveal, was so actually crazy. Like, so many, like, well, I was looking this morning, I was just like seeing what tweets came up in automatically, thank you to the algorithm, and it was serving me all these kind of TikToks of other streamers being like, I'm gonna FaceTime Dream and see his face. So literally they were doing like promo lead up to the face reveal.
Oh, hello, hi, it is I, Dream.
You should have kept the mask on. I'm kidding. No, oh my gosh. No.
Dude, let's go. Hey, you look great. It's nice to meet you finally. That's so cool. You're not being filmed at all. My face is being filmed for my reaction. Hey, you're a good looking guy, dude. Why'd you never show your face?
And these were people we've discussed before. These were people like Addison Rae and Bella Porch, you know?
Okay, I didn't see those. I just saw like some, you know, all these like weird gamer types that I'd never heard of. So you're like, okay, this guy must have like quite the face if everybody's like so shocked by his face. His name is Clay. I'm like, I know exactly what this guy's going to look like. I don't think I'm going to be shocked by this guy's face.
I think you're right.
So last
I wasn't
night,
shocked by his face.
Me and Bobby with like a million other people, definitely a lot younger than us, saw this guy reveal his face. And when I tell you, his face is exactly what you thought it would look like.
I'm so nervous. Do I just drop it? All right, for real, I'm dropping it. Hi. It feels so awkward talking to a camera for the first time. Hi. My name is Clay, otherwise known as Dream online. May have heard of me, may have not. Maybe you clicked on this video just out of pure curiosity and you don't care who I am. But now you've seen my face, and so obviously you know who I am, and I'm just so cool. I don't know. Probably a lot of you are probably wondering, why now? Why are you finally revealing your face? You haven't shown your face this entire time.
He's a white guy born in 1999. That's all you need to know about the face. If you said white guy born in 1999 to the Dolly AI art maker, it would make clay. It would just make clay. The funniest tweet is, stop, Dream is so average, I can't even make fun of him.
There was nothing to say. Like, it was like, oh, Dream is hot, or like, Dream is normal. It's like, he's literally just a like normal white guy. I would say he has a strong chin. And then like, that's all I have to say.
And I think that part of the, like, you face look at reveal. The, while we were watching the face reveal, there were almost, well, there were at least 1.5 million people when I was on the YouTube thing. There may have been close to 2, but it was also happening on Twitter as well. Like, it was happening on all these platforms. It was happening on, I think it was even happening, was it happening on TikTok? I assume it was happening on TikTok. But this number, I think, is so interesting because, sure, it only got that big because he is legitimately famous in this Twitch community. Like, he clearly makes a ton of money off of this. This is huge. He's well known in this world. But, like, I think probably a big chunk of people were like us, being like, fed this news by the algorithm, fed this news by other people we follow,
right,
and clicking out of sheer fascination, because Popcrave tweeting Dream will reveal his face in 20 minutes is, you know, pretty convincing. It's enticing.
It's also camp, you know?
Yes. Dream, his name is Clay.
Dream will reveal his face.
Dream will reveal his face in 20 minutes.
You can't even blame the fact that he's like a cute white guy streaming to the appeal. Like, he kind of built his audience off of being faceless. So you kind of, it's interesting because it kind of goes against what you normally would say, like, ugh, these like fucking annoying young like cutie guys who just like get audience because everybody's like, oh, you know, and they're not even that funny. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not funny to you, but maybe he's hilarious.
He's not trying to be funny to me, right? Like, he's
no,
that's
you don't
not
play
what
Minecraft.
Exactly.
You don't play Minecraft. Yeah.
Exactly. I don't know. I'm intrigued to find out if he does actually stay faceless in the future. But according to like interviews he's done, he does really seem to hate. He hates the concept of the face cam on Twitch streams. He's like, I don't like watching people's faces.
Well, also,
faces.
If it's not your style. I mean, this is so funny. It really, I actually like relate so much because people are like, oh, why don't you guys do
video?
You
should do YouTube.
Yeah, you guys should do YouTube. No. You guys should do video. It's like, why do you think we do this? Like, what? You know what I mean? And I see clips of like other podcasts on TikTok and I'm like, oh, interesting way to kind of translate that. And then I'm like, but we would never necessarily want to do that because that's why we do this.
I want nothing to do with video. I want nothing to
do
with video.
Video existed long before podcasting. If we wanted to do video, we would have already done it. So I feel
exactly.
Like I can relate to Dream. Do you feel like you can relate to him?
I understand Dream and I relate to him. I can't say Dream without thinking he loves me, he loves you now.
Oh, I mean, the only Dream to me is that Dream.
He loves me, he loves you not.
Whatever happened to them?
I think Diddy, that was a Diddy group, right? And they were
yeah,
like
they were
mismanaged
Diddy.
Or whatever, like hated him, fucked him over. Right?
Oh, you're right. A girl group formed in the late 90s, early 2000s. Definitely mismanaged. Definitely mismanaged. I'm looking at their Wikipedia. They had a comeback in 2015.
So free to do what he wants. He's into what he's got. He loves me. He loves you no matter what.
And then they broke up again in 2016. On May 11th, 2015,
tried.
The original members posted a video online performing an a cappella version of He Loves You Not. On October 5th, 2016, Ashley Poole announced The Dream once again disbanded.
The Dream is alive. The Dream is dead.
The
so
Dream
they
is
said,
dead.
We don't need Diddy. We're going to like be our own group. And then everybody was like, never mind. This takes too much work.
Yeah.
The electronic game with the talking phone. To win, call guys, get clues, figure out which guy really likes you.
He's not wearing a hat.
Bye, guys. What'd he say?
My secret.
Uh-huh.
You.
He's not at the beach.
See you later. Guys.
You. Hi. My name is Clay, otherwise known as Dream online. May have heard of me? May have not.
Dream Phone, the hot electronic talking phone game.
It's for you.
Okay, from Diddy to Daddy. Hailey Bieber went on Call Her Daddy and got so much press. She has not gotten this much press. She didn't get this much press for, trigger warning, health, her stroke. Like, when Hailey Bieber had a fucking stroke, people cared less than they do about this.
I know that's true. It's really insane because it has to do with Selena Gomez. And Selena Gomez is who people care about, not necessarily Hailey Bieber. But the question Hailey Bieber still a who? I kind of think she is.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely. I'm not even worried about that. Like, she's a who.
I'm not worried either. Don't worry. But don't worry, darling. I'm not worried.
Don't worry, co-host.
Don't worry. Okay, so we're saying that she did the big interview, and the main takeaways, the teaser that they did, was like,
I didn't cheat, or I wasn't the other woman.
Well, that there was some sort of overlap, which is always the issue between her and Selena. Though assuming there is bad blood or kind of like not a great situation. And I would argue this is Justin Bieber's fault, nothing to do with these two women. But that's a whole other
kind of issue. Yes, that's a great argument.
So she does this long, long, long interview, right? I listened to like a good amount of it, but then it was honestly so boring.
I was going to say the same thing, sort of. I tried, dull. But that show's not for me. Like, there's a resonance to that show that really messes with my, I don't know.
A resonance?
Cochlea. Oh. What is the thing in the eardrum?
Excuse me, like, are you accusing the women of having vocal fry? Because that's sexist.
No, it has nothing to do with vocal fry. It has everything to do with the tone and how it's like so boring. I cannot deal with those conversations. You accusing these women of having vocal fry.
I just thought.
I love vocal fry.
I know you do. You are attracted to
I'm
vocal fry.
I'm obsessed with vocal fry. It's true. Hailey Bieber saying that she didn't hook up with Justin while Justin was still with Selena Gomez was published on every website on the internet. The news that Hailey Bieber did not get involved with Justin while he was still with Selena Gomez, she did not like torpedo Selena Gomez's relationship with Justin Bieber, was fascinating to everyone. But like you said, it's totally true.
She says,
because of Selena Gomez, not because of Hailey Bieber.
She says they were not in a relationship at that time, but of course there's a very long history there. It has nothing to do with me, which is like,
okay, let's just put it this way. When him and I ever started like hooking up or like anything of that sort, he was not ever in a relationship ever at any point. I would never, it's not my character to mess with someone's relationship. I would just never do that. I was raised better than that. I'm not interested in doing that, and I never was. I think that there are situations where you can still kind of have like back and forth with someone, but even that was not the situation. Like, I can say period point blank, I was never with him when he was in a relationship with anybody. That's the end of it.
It just so happens that Selena Gomez's fan army is very powerful, and she's their girl. And she even had to come out and be like, she put out a TikTok after this interview and was like, okay, enough with this.
Selena, yes.
Selena did.
Yeah.
The Selenators had to be calmed down.
You have to play Selena's TikTok because it's Selena acting. Like, I love like Selena in full actor mode.
Talk about a voice.
Like, it's really good.
Talk about a voice I could listen to until the end of time. Selena Gomez. What a tenor.
What a voice. You got to play that clip.
And I think some of the things that I don't even need to be aware of are just vile and disgusting. And it's not fair, and no one ever should be spoken to in the manner that I've seen. And all I have to say is it's incredibly ironic that I would release something that is all about kind words, because that's exactly what I want.
She said that they've talked since the wedding. So it's like, we are on speaking terms. Quit like creating this horrible fan fiction about me and Selena Gomez and Justin Bieber. The stuff that I'm like, that I think I will never not be repulsed by is also how much attention like their sex life gets. Hailey Bieber and Justin Bieber's sex life. It's like, there's too much of that too. And it's like, I really don't think anyone cares about this. Why is this being written about everywhere? I refuse to believe a single person cares about like
how
Justin Bieber and Hailey Bieber fucking.
People who are tuning into this, it's like, 25% Hailey Bieber fans, 25% Justin Bieber fans, and then everyone else is just a Selena Gomez fan. I mean, my percentages could even be off. I feel like it's maybe 10-10-80, you know?
Lindsay, you've broken down the demographics of the entire country. It's,
choose your faction.
It's 10% Justin Bieber fans, 10% Hailey Bieber fans, and 80% Selena Gomez fans. That's the United
Where
States.
Where would you put yourself? I'm Selena definitely Gomez. Not. You're a Selena Gomez.
I'm a Selenator.
Fan. You're a Selenator.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
I love Selenator because it sounds like selenium. That like, It sounds like we're all like standing selenium, not Selena Gomez. Oh, we've been affected by selenium. I don't know what it does or if it affects you, but it's like, oh, we're all victims of selenium poisoning.
I'm also very, I'm.
That's why we're so sorry.
I'm also like always impressed by Call Her Daddy maintaining their, I don't know, impact. You know, like just when I think the culture is over, Call Her Daddy, a Call Her Daddy interview goes viral in a huge, like tremendous way.
Uh-huh. Sorry, I'm looking up selenium now. It's a mineral found in the soil. It appears naturally in water and some foods. While people only need a small amount, selenium plays a key role in their metabolism.
I require more than a small amount of Selena. I gotta say that.
Yeah, you're a selenator, and you're on a high dosage of selenium and selenium. On a high dosage.
When I got my blood work back from the doctor, they said I needed to take a supplement, and I was like, "Only Murders comes back, I'll be fine. It'll be okay. I'll be okay."
Only Murders.
Okay. Only Murders is coming back, and I will listen to Selena and Selena Gomez in the Scene, the first album, like again. It's been a while.
Selenium is one of those minerals that, although you only need a little bit of it, it's often very hard to get enough of it. In this video, I'm going to tell you very common yet hard to discern signs and symptoms that you may be deficient in selenium. I'm Dr. Ken Berry, a family physician, and you should know that selenium is an essential micronutrient for all mammals on the planet, including human beings.
Mothers. Mother's Day. It's American Mother's Day coming up. I know the UK has their own Mother's Day in March, but our Mother's Day is coming
and
up.
And we don't just celebrate, you know, biological mothers. We celebrate, you know, people who you could consider mother and those who are mother figures to you. Could be anyone.
If there's a mother in your life who you want to celebrate on Mother's Day, get them StoryWorth. My parents printed out extra keepsake books for them. So now I have one of their keepsake books in my coffee table.
Oh, I love
that. Of their stories, which were, I mean, they were meant for my nephews, but works for me. I like having those stories.
You can read
Everyone
those stories.
Loves these stories in
Any
the family.
Any good stories in there?
Not that I'm willing to share.
Oh.
Well, you know what? Here's a fascinating story. I found out, I don't want to reveal what it was, but I found out what my mom originally wanted to do when she grew up.
Which was what?
She wanted to be a flight attendant.
Oh, wow.
It didn't work out. Didn't work out. We love StoryWorth. That helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom, mother figure, ma, mother.
Capital M,
all mothers. For years to come. Every week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. You can write the questions. You can choose pre-written questions. It's really as much you or your mother are willing to put in. StoryWorth makes it all a breeze. They just need to respond to that email, long or short. Doesn't matter how verbose your mother is. You get a copy of those responses as they're submitted. And then at the end of the year, StoryWorth compiles all of those stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you can share and revisit for generations to come. You can print a copy for yourself. You can print a copy for the grandkids. You can print a copy for your friends. Print as many copies as you want. Families love StoryWorth. That's why it has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over a decade ago. So give all the mothers in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/who. That's storyworth.com/who to save $10 on your first purchase. Lindsay, what quince did you get when we got some quince promo?
I got sheets.
Me too.
I got beautiful sheets. Beautiful sheets.
Oh, wait. No, I didn't. I lied. I got a duvet cover. Same thing, though.
A friend of mine reached out and said, you know how you say on the quince ad that you have 365 days for returns? I once used that feature and it was incredible. It was so easy and great. And I said, wow, that's so nice to hear, because Quince offers free shipping and 365-day returns. And that's part of one of their many offerings, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
Oh, yeah, you're obsessed with the washable silk tops.
It's hard to... Washing silk is a pain in the tush.
Not normally. From Quince.
Normally.
And all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories that can cut the cost of the middleman and pass the savings right on to me, Lindsay, and you. And they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. We love that. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/who for free shipping on your order. And as she said, 365-day returns. That's quince.com/who to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/who.
This story is killing me because Noah Schnapp is in another DM drama.
Oh, right, with Doja Cat.
Literally just talking about Noah Schnapp, one of the kids from Stranger Things, like getting into drama over DMs. And he's in drama, DM drama again. But every time he's in DM drama, it's for like a reason that you'd never guess. Because usually DM drama implies kind of sexy things, like whatever, mm-hmm. like the Adam Levine of it all, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But Noah Schnapp's getting into DM drama for like miscommunications that are really fucking funny.
With women who are famous than he is.
Right. The women that are way more famous than he is. Well, I don't know if she might not be.
She's not more famous than Stranger Things, but I feel like more people know Hannah Goodwin's name than Noah Schnapp's.
No. Also, you're saying it wrong. It's Godwin.
Oh, Godwin. Okay, well then maybe Noah Schnapp wins.
I think Noah Schnapp is way more famous than this woman, Hannah Godwin, who is from The Bachelor.
The Bachelor, yeah.
She tells a story on, you know, the one thing about me trend on TikTok that actually it's needs awful. To be thrown
it's
into
awful.
The trash.
It's
one
the worst
thing
trend.
About me is that when I was 10, and no one can stay on beat. The whole point is that you're supposed to be on the beat.
No one cares about the beat.
No one cares about the beat.
One thing about me is about a year ago, I opened Instagram and I said, yo, who just slid in my DMs? And it's Noah Schnapp. He said, hey, my best friend is obsessed with you. It's her birthday. Could you make her a birthday video saying hi? I said, oh my gosh. But yes, you have to do the same. My best friend Deena is so obsessed with you. Will you make a video? He said, I got you. So I woke up and I made a video the next morning and I hit go. Then I sent it to him. He said, this is perfect. I said, awesome. And I never got a video back. But it's okay. Maybe he was busy. Who knows? But we are still waiting on a video.
And that makes the entire thing insufferable.
She's really like not focused on really staying on the rhythm. So Noah left a comment for the video that said, what? I'm sending it in right now. Who's it for? Literally, listen to the story. It's her friend,
Look at
Dina.
Your Instagram DM history.
Noah Schnapp is the most 18-year-old kid ever with this type of response. Wait, it's really funny that he responded, what? I'm sending it right now. Who's it for?
It's in the video.
She literally explained the story. You weren't even listening. You didn't even read. You didn't even watch it.
Spelled the name Dina. We know it's not double E. We know it's I. Let's be clear. He's a child. It's also very funny that Hannah called out a literal kid.
I don't care. He's 18.
No, at the time he was 17 though.
Okay. It's funny. So whatever. I don't care. I'm sorry. Calling out a 17-year-old for this does not make me mad. It's like this has nothing to do with like consent or like adult relationships.
No,
I just
think it's hilarious that both of his drama are with like 20, 30-something women who are like, are you behaving like a child? And it's like, because he's a child. That's both of the situations are older women being like, why is this kid behaving like a kid? And Noah's like, what? I'm a kid.
Because Noah is presenting himself as three men in a trench coat and they're confused. One thing about me.
We are skipping Chriselle, Timmy. We said no selling Sunset. We're skipping Chriselle.
Chriselle Stiles still uses ex Jason Oppenheim's HBO login and it messes it up when she's mad at him. Okay.
Moving on.
This is the story that Bobby's been excited about all episode for us to get to.
It's so funny. So Remy Ma has been, for a while now, for some time, Bravo has been in talks with Remy Ma, rapper, most iconically in prison for like, 6 years, got out, like starts her life all over again, gets a reality show, is still engaged in like a feud with Nicki Minaj, marries Papoose.
Remember Sheether? Huh?
Yes, of course I remember Sheether. So all of the, we talked about that on the show, actually. That's like the last time we talked about Remy Ma.
I know about it.
Sheether. Yeah, she and Nicki Minaj threw hands.
Kind of.
Musically.
Bravo wanted Remy Ma to join the cast of Real Housewives of New York. And they were like, this would be great because we've never had a rapper before. This is amazing.
And she's a reality show veteran, so she like kind of knows what's going on.
And she's extremely New York. Remy Ma is extremely New York. So they were like, this is so great. Perfect casting. They pulled the plug because they found out that she lives in New Jersey. They were like, and not just like New Jersey on the weekends, like she only lives in New Jersey now. Like Remy Ma's a New Jersey girl.
Well, so they were, I guess at one point she had an apartment in the city.
But not anymore.
And then she got rid of it. So like there was a miscommunication. What's so funny to me is like, they can fix anything up on that show. Like they're not following necessarily like any sort of rules, but the one rule that they're like, okay, we really have to like, you have to live in the state.
You have to live in the title that of the we're show. Like,
exactly. We have a Real Housewives of New Jersey, you know, that's, but it kind of doesn't make sense for her to be in Real Housewives of New Jersey because she's so New York.
Exactly.
Like that's kind of her
identity. Like I think they would have even accepted Real Housewives of New York City, and she lives, like, in Patchogue. You know, like, if she lived on Long Island, I think they'd be like, that's okay.
No, I think
that's
that would be okay. Well, this is, like, Potomac. You know how some of the girlies live outside Potomac, and they're always, like, referencing
But they live close enough.
Right. They're all, like, living somewhere else.
They live close enough.
Right, right.
So Remy Ma's not going to be on the Real Housewives of New York City. And isn't the whole thing that they're going to – the rumor is that they're, like, completely overhauling everything about this franchise, the New York City or something?
Yeah, they split. It's a long story, but they split it in two, and they're going to do like the old school and the new school. They're kind of like, they're trying to make everyone happy, and it like probably will be a mess. But it's like they want to keep the original problematic stars also, but then like add in new people, and they realize that the old people cannot mix with the new people. Like they just are not.
I think that's
able
fair.
To do it.
She, Remy has not said anything about this. This reporting came out just sort of like independent of her.
It's so good.
So it's just like a...
Yeah, it's literally just TMZ behind the scenes, like got some sort of like sourcing. Just really funny. It's really funny that it's not... She's not saying anything.
No, this just got out.
Sources familiar with the situation tell TMZ Roni star Ebony K. Williams brought up Remy's name to casting several months ago for the Bravo reality series, suggesting Remy would be a great addition to the show. And then they found out she lives in New Jersey.
Because they thought she was okay, she's going to be this Bronx person in the show. She's going to represent the Bronx. Yeah. And it's like, no, unfortunately, she's going to represent like Hoboken and we can't have that. You know, like East Orange. She's going to recommend Orange.
To be honest, it's a huge loss for the show because Remy and Papoose are like hilarious. And like,
and
they
they're
would be good
on television.
Like, they would be
they
good.
Already
on the
have
show.
Like,
right.
Because they've done Love and Hip Hop. They've done their own Remy and Papoose show. Like, they've done stuff in the past. So it's like, we know that they are good on television. Anyway, sucks.
I was really annoyed the other night when I was rushed out after my performance. It makes me still feel like I'm in prison where I have to be rushed off to my cell because it's count time or something. While I was away, me and Pep made a plan together that when I got out, that we would put all our energy into work. But now that I'm out, I want to breathe and just... live a little.
Every week I read the Inside a Day in My Life in Us Weekly and 25 Things You Don't Know About Me in Us Weekly, hoping for something funny. And it is, you know, it's like 50-50 that it's going to be good. Maybe 60-40 leaning bad. It's rare that there is something like notable in these things, especially Inside a Day in My Life. But we had FBI star Alana De La Garza Inside a Day in My Life, who has this...
I'm like, wait, what? I have a question for you. So Alana De La Garza is in the show FBI with Jeremy Sisto,
who also just did one of these,
A Day in My Life. So are they just fucking just going through the IMDb of FBI, the show, to promote it and like just choosing anyone who's available?
I think it's one of those things where it's like maybe they share a publicist and this publicist, like this is their back pocket thing. They know it's very, very easy to do
this
sort of
thing. It's also weird because she brings up Jeremy Sisto.
And Jeremy Sisto just did one.
As if we didn't just see him do his Day in a Life. I mean, again, I don't know if anyone's reading Us Weekly as closely as we are. Apparently not, because this is just, to me, a glaring repeat. Oh, it's another woman from FBI? Just a person we know even less than Jeremy Sisto?
Well, now I know a little bit more about her, but we'll get to that. My favorite thing about Alana De La Garza is I was looking at her IMDb, and you know how there's that whole thing where it's like, if you want to be an actor and you move to New York, you got to get your, sea legs by just being on Law and Order, like being on a New York procedural.
Of course.
That's like, that's how you get in.
Yeah,
right?
That's the whole, everyone knows anyone that. It's, you're not an actor unless you've been on
and
Law
so
and
it's like, you'll be on Law and Order, then exactly. You can like work your way up. My favorite thing about Alana De La Garza, based on her IMDb, is that she got her sea legs on network TV crime procedurals and was just like, this is my world. This is where I'm staying. This is where I'm not going to leave. And she never left. That's
amazing. I kind of love that. She said Law and Order is for me, and then just worked her way up the ladder in terms of other
procedurals. She was like, give me JAG. Give me Las Vegas. Give me CSI Miami. Give me Law and Order. Give me Law and Order LA. Give me NCIS Los Angeles. Give me Law and Order Special Victims Unit. Give me Criminal Minds. Give me Criminal Minds Beyond Borders. Give me FBI, FBI Most Wanted, FBI Declassified, and FBI International.
Wait, these are all real?
These are all real shows that she's been in.
Wait, she's literally a legend and definitely a cop. Like, she qualifies as cop. Like, she's a cop.
How many cop shows do you have to be in before you are literally, like, wearing a Punisher shirt with a Blue Lives Matter thing on the back?
Honestly, less than this woman. Less than the, you only need to do, like, one third of what this woman has done to be an actual cop. Meanwhile, she's, like, she might as well just get a badge and get out there.
She can probably perform citizen's arrests. You're right. She's essentially a cop.
citizens can perform citizen's arrests. Oh, right, you're right.
She's been deputized. She's been deputized.
Yeah, she definitely like is out here being like,
I'm a cop,
judging other cops for not doing their jobs, like, because she's like, let's not put words in Alana De La Garza's mouth.
I just want to read her actual words, which are her 1 p.m. segment of Inside a Day in My Life.
What a pick, though. How do you describe this?
Holding something that can best be described as home goods. And she's holding.
Well, can I describe it better? On sale for the holiday. After the holidays.
Right.
On
this
sale
is Halloween. This is Halloween decor you bought in November for sure.
This is November 1st home goods.
Okay.
It's giving December home goods. You know what I mean? It's giving. We need to clear out home goods for the next holiday.
Cute. I mean, it is. It's cute. It's a ceramic. It's a ceramic gourd, but it's not a gourd because it's long. It's more of a ceramic butternut squash, but the butternut squash has a face, and it's holding a Halloween guitar on it. And it has a sombrero on, and it's a mariachi jack-o'-lantern.
Why is
because
it
it's a mariachi jack-o'-lantern.
Oh,
and she wrote, 1 p.m., ran to the market with my hubby to grab groceries and an apple cider slushy, the actress says, noting this mariachi jack-o'-lantern, quote, came home with me. And it's just like, I love... It's so much fun when they try. And this is someone trying. And it's like, I love that you wrote this. I love that you had your husband trying. Trying to like make your life, like give order to your life. Like give something interesting to your life. Like I love that this is a whole narrative where I went grocery shopping and then I needed a little sweet treat. I was having a snack attack. And then I got this cutie little thing and my husband took the photo. Like it's so much biography crammed into a single sentence that I'm just like, you did the work here. She and Jeremy Sisto did the work when they did these things.
No, I love that.
I'm
they
so
put in
impressed.
The work. These are photos taken
yes,
by them.
I really am impressed. Yeah,
they didn't say, they said, you know what? Don't send a photographer. I'll just take it myself. My hubby will take me a picture of me in my new mariachi
jack-o-lantern. It says it in the story that the husband took all of the photos. And I'm just like, I love this for all of them. I love it.
Hey, you know, this is their Grub Street. They got to do it right.
It's so good.
Diary, Grub Street Diary.
Okay, we have a new nepotism alert. Not really. I mean, she just has an apartment.
You're just saying you're saying those nice things so she won't come and arrest you. I just realized that.
I'm scared of Alana De La Garza.
Hi, guys. It's Alana De La Garza. I am on the set of Law & Order Los Angeles right now, right before we rehearse. So I just wanted to say thank you so much for tuning in and supporting us and loving us. We really appreciate it. And tune in tonight, 10 o'clock on NBC. We will make you proud. I will show up with some lady power. And it'll rock. Hopefully. You'll think it rocks. Anyway, thank you. And we'll make you proud. Bye.
Okay.
This is just a funny article from Hello Magazine, which I just want to point out is like not an American-based tabloid, right? So they're writing about Faith Hill and Tim McGraw's daughter Audrey's NYC apartment. There's just something deeply funny about like British people or whatever reading about Faith Hill and Tim McGraw's youngest daughter Audrey's mind-blowing NYC apartment.
I was very quickly kind of my gut was saying, oh, it's nepotism, but it's not nepotism. It's just the daughter of a famous person who got an apartment. Like, it's not like she's entering the country world. It's like, no, she got a really expensive apartment. That's it.
She literally like lives in New York and like has an apartment. And it's funny just because it's just not, I don't know who this is for. Like, I guess it's for us, but I don't know who else it's for. So they're describing like Instagram stories, which is also
they don't have exclusive photos. They're just using her TikToks.
A glimpse of Audrey's, this is me describing. Like, this is me being like, Bobby, last night, so-and-so posted the most insane Instagram stories and like they disappeared. Like, I'm trying to describe them to you. Here's me. A glimpse of Audrey's bedroom was visible in the background of the snap, revealing sleek wooden floors and a minimalist mosh furniture in classy neutral shades. Her large ornate mirror at the foot of her bed also reflected a window flooding the room with natural light. The 20-year-old gave fans a peek inside her immaculate decorated New York abode on Sunday, and it's seriously a luxe space for a college student. Sharing a series of photos on her Instagram story, Audrey posted for a mirror selfie wearing a tweed-striped t-shirt and denim mini skirt, styling her flowing brunette tresses in natural waves.
Can I read my favorite paragraph? Just last week, the budding Broadway star shared a series of photographs of her home on Instagram. The sprawling space looked like the ultimate It Girl abode, decorated with kitsch rattan furniture, colorful prints, and a cozy double bed.
They call it a large flat-screen TV set upon a stylish oak mid-century cabinet laden with trinkets.
It really is. They're describing three photos. They're describing three photos, and they called it Inside Faith Hill and Tim McGraw's youngest daughter Aubrey's mind-blowing NYC apartment. How can my mind be blown by an apartment I can't see?
Well, they're literally going through the Instagram stories, pausing them and being like, oh, is that ornate mirror at the foot of the bed?
Are those chic neutral wood floors?
Is she posing in front of a mirror wearing a tweed striped shirt and denim mini skirt?
And once again, I know how DNA works, but like if I saw this girly on the street, I would say, is that the child of Faith Hill and Tim McGraw? Because no one has ever looked more like the child of Faith Hill and Tim McGraw than Audrey McGraw.
Really? Yeah. You think so? I guess you would know.
Look at this photo. Right. Do you see this? And again, I know it's stupid to say, wow, Audrey McGraw looks like Faith Hill and Tim McGraw, but look at that.
You're obsessed with the way genetics
work. Genetics are hilarious.
Whenever you see the child of two people, you're like, whoa.
No, truly.
You're like, the Punnett square is giving. Isn't that what that is? So.
It's giving Punnett square. That's what I would say.
It's giving Punnett Square.
Look at you remembering the Punnett Square. That is what the Punnett Square is. That's literally what the Punnett Square is. But yes, she's definitely giving Punnett Square in this red carpet pic.
Me when I overdose on selenium. I'm like, it's giving Punnett Square!
Let's move on to relationships. Speaking of country music, oh my God, Billy Ray Cyrus has a new fiance and it's not Tish. Like, he's not back with Tish. He's with someone named Fire Rose.
She's giving Tish, but she's like, it's Tish. Like, it's Tish. It's kind of like Tish.
I did
she
a side by side when I was watching videos of her. I was like, wait, does she kind of look like Tish? And she kind of looks like Tish. And that she's a blonde white lady.
Her name is Fire Rose.
I think we need to call her specifically Fire Rose, parentheses, all caps, one word. That's who she is.
She's Fire Rose, all caps, one word.
So Miley Cyrus's dad, Billy Ray, is engaged to a younger singer named Fire Rose, all caps, one word, months after split from wife and rift with daughter. Because remember, like, Miley unfollowed him or whatever. There's big Ray Cyrus family drama. Excuse me, Cyrus family drama.
If my dad was dating a younger woman named Fire all Rose, caps, I also would be like, get a grip. Yeah, I would be like, okay, talk to me later. Like, okay.
Well, much like when we were talking about Chris Redd last week and like the weird timeline, this timeline is a little more straightforward where it's like Billy Ray Cyrus and Tish Cyrus announced their divorce in the first week of April 2022. Okay? What is that? 6 months ago? Six months ago. Okay?
Right.
And then we're in September 2022 and they announced that they're engaged, but that they didn't start dating until after the split. But when you look at, they've known each other for 10 years. So I think it's very clear why people are very sus about this.
Right. It's like you can't say, oh, we didn't overlap, but oh, we've been friends for 10 years. Because clearly something was bubbling. You didn't just all of a sudden flip a switch.
Like there are videos of her talking about him helping her with her music in 2021 before they allegedly or claim to have broken up. Tish and Billy Ray, I mean,
and now you understand why Miley is like, get away from me or like, leave us alone, please.
Yes. Miley and Tish have always been very close. But what's interesting is that she's Australian. She doesn't sound Australian in singing, but she is an Australian person who is entering the like country space, which is always very interesting to me. It's like when people come from outside the United States to like try country in Nashville, like it's not even doing country in where you're from, but like coming into Nashville and like doing country. I'm always very intrigued by that. And sometimes it works.
It's very
sometimes it's very like you're great at it.
Fire Rose's hit single, I don't think, New Day, featuring Billy Ray Cyrus, recently charted on the top 40 in Hot AC. She releases her new track and video for All Figured Out on May 6th, coming off a powerful breakthrough year with A New Day, a genre-crossing hit collaboration with Cyrus. Fire Rose, all caps, one word, now releases her fresh piano ballad, All Figured Out, the first track of her brand new material coming this year. Okay.
The notable thing that I don't know if you put this in here or Timmy, is that her Instagram grid is all photos and videos with Billy Ray.
Yeah, well, guess how she's promoting her music career, which is, you know, via Billy Ray. And he's promoting his midlife crisis through her.
Next relationship story. Hayley Williams is in the culture this week. Hayley Williams is now dating Taylor York.
Hayley Williams, them, Paramore, them, Taylor York, her bandmate, who? I didn't know that he was the bandmate, but apparently everyone's freaking out they finally admitted they were dating, and they knew they were dating.
I think that the thing is, I think people have known. I'm not a big Paramore person. I like Paramore. I think Hayley Williams is immensely talented, but I think that the Paramore heads have...
The wickedly talented Hayley Williams.
The Paramore heads have known that Taylor and Hayley Williams were dating, but because they are currently at the beginning stages of an album promo cycle, they're like, by the way, we're actually dating.
Right.
By the way, we're playing Misery
Business
again.
I think it's like, oh, these are songs that we wrote based on each other or something. You know, like that's, yeah. And he produced her entire solo album when she was briefly solo. Petals for Armor.
Yes.
Never forget Paramore, a band that was formed by a label around her, too.
Yeah, that was. It's basically the Hayley Williams. It's basically
bands that became
the Hayley
a real band.
Williams experience is what Paramore is. She is so talented that they were like, you need to have a band of people around you. And she's now dated two of the people in her band, not just Taylor York.
Well, now this is the second person she's dated in Paramore who's no longer in Paramore, but his brother is still in Paramore.
Yeah, she dated Josh Farro, like The Grain. And now Zach Farro is in the band, also like The Grain.
The men are, I gotta say, kind of interchangeable in her love life and in
Paramore
the band.
Has nothing to do with the men. Paramore is all Hayley.
What's next? You're obsessed with this. Mackenzie Scott files for a divorce from second husband, teacher Dan
Mackenzie
Jewett.
Mackenzie Scott dumped Jeff Bezos and everyone was like, we stan. Yes, drag him. Take half his money. Amazing. Even though no one should have $33 billion.
Yeah, right. She did take it and started giving it all
to charity. She started giving it away and she also started dating a teacher, right? Like she goes from Jeff Bezos, someone who only takes, and went to a teacher who gives back, right? And then she dumped him. Sure. She broke up with them and it's only been a year and a half.
She said, never mind.
And the this story, I think this is NBC News, but it says, the boilerplate divorce petition showed the pair had already entered a prenuptial agreement, separation contract, or community property agreement. And it's like, yeah, no shit. She wasn't going to marry a teacher and not make sure that he doesn't get... I'm sure he got plenty.
I'm sure he's fine. He doesn't have to teach anymore, I'll tell you that.
No, but he wants to. Teachers teach because they like to sometimes. Okay. Sometimes.
Sure. Okay, I hate Bezos talk. I think he's so cursed. So let's move on. Remember his
they're still together. Did you see the this headline? Oh yeah, I put it in here. Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez step out after his ex-wife Mackenzie Scott files for divorce, and they're leaving Nobu like
he's so
giggling.
Crazy.
Disgusting.
Headline I love. Headline I love. This is from justjared.com. Daisy Ridley and Tom Bateman make rare public appearance. See the photos. Never have I wanted to see photos less, but I clicked, you know?
And is it a rare public appearance or do people just not care?
Well, that's the real catch-22 of the scenario here.
Is it a catch-22?
Rare because they don't actually step out together or rare because nobody ever takes the picture?
That's what I'm saying.
Did the tree fall in the woods if no one heard it make a sound? Is that the saying?
Let me repeat what you said. Did a tree fall in the woods if no one heard it make a sound?
Okay, what's the saying?
If a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, did it make a sound? I believe that's what it is.
Yes.
You said, did a tree fall in the forest if no one was there to hear it make a sound?
That's literally what I said. The same as what I actually said that, except a little bit differently.
Did a tree fall?
Okay, so what is it? If a tree falls in the woods and
did it make a sound? I think that's how it goes. You said, did a tree.
If Daisy Ridley.
Did a tree fall in the forest?
If Daisy Ridley and Tom Bateman get photographed, but no one. If Daisy Ridley and Tom Bateman step out in public and no one's there to photograph.
Did they actually make a public appearance?
Did they actually make a public appearance?
And I think the answer is no.
Okay.
But they stepped out and they went to an event together. That's what it is. It's not like they weren't.
Who is he? He's an actor.
Is he? They were in Murder on the Orient Express together. I think that's how they met.
So were 14 other actors. Like, so it was like literally the most. Yeah. How am I supposed to know?
I mean, he looks like white British guys with brunette hair all look like this. And that's what he looks like. Like, who? If like they're going to be okay. in period dramas. That's, yeah, that they all look like this.
That's a good headline.
So, sure, but the thing about Daisy like Ridley is that Daisy Ridley's career is exactly, I think, what everyone expected it to be after Star Wars, where it was like, wow, she's in the highest profile movie series of all time. She's the lead. What's she going to do after? And the answer is like, not much. And people really don't remember her.
Yeah, no. I'm just crying at this article from PBS.org, which is literally like, masterpiece theater adjacent content
because he's one of those guys.
Did a five things to know about actor Tom Bateman, but like you'd think PBS maybe they'll like say something smart. The first one is he's got some famous co-stars.
Well, it's because of Beecham House, which isn't masterpiece theater like transport.
I understand, but their number one thing to know about him is that he has famous co-stars.
One of them is he loves period dramas, and it's like, yeah, I know because I'm on Masterpiece's website.
He's one of 14 children. That's actually interesting.
Yeah, you're right. It is
one of 14. That's crazy. Is. What's next?
What was she wearing? Where was she seen? She posted what on Instagram? She's the Who Queen. Tens of people want to know all about the number one Who. Lindsay, Bobby, tell us now. What's Rita Ora up to?
Who is this woman?
Rita's a queen bee. Newlyweds Rita Ora and hubby Taika Waititi try beekeeping on romantic mini moon.
Here's the thing. They haven't even confirmed they're married and people are calling like trips that they're
going on.
Well,
they're calling them mini moons, which is even weirder.
What's a mini moon?
You don't get to call Rita Ora and Taika Waititi travel too much. You don't get to call anything a honeymoon. You know, like they're constantly traveling. Everything's a mini moon to them.
They're just traveling.
Everything's a mini moon.
It's just funny how they're like, newly married Rita Ora was whisked away on a mini moon by her filmmaker hubby Taika Waititi, the Anywhere singer who tied the knot with the hunky Kiwi in the summer. So it's like, I guess it's literally fact, like this happened. She has not actually confirmed it. There have been no photos. There was no big party. I mean, I'm starting to think, like, is she going to actually
have the wedding? Yeah. She's definitely going to have the wedding. I bet the more I think about it, I think she's going to tie it to something. I bet she's going to do like a New Year's Day wedding or something and have a big party.
Yeah, there's got to be a wedding party. And I think that's why she hasn't said anything it's like she doesn't want to have to detail anything about the part. Like, she doesn't want to be like, oh, yeah, we got married and we're having like another party. Like, she just wants to have the party and then be like, yes, we got married.
But even though we don't know for a fact from the horse's mouth that she got married, we do know for a fact that she did a beekeeping thing because there is a photo of her posing in a beekeeper's outfit. And she looks pretty cool.
Yeah,
she looks really cool.
She also looks sensational in naked bath pics as she posed in pink water. She was like in a tub in pink water.
This photo kept like popping up like on my Twitter feed, on my Instagram feed.
Because it's Rita. She doesn't stop. She's like, oh, have I not been in the news enough? Here's a picture of me in a bathtub with pink water. Like, she's...
I like this one. My favorite headline, I'm going to read it right now. Daily Mail. Rita Ora shows off her sizzling physique and rock hard abs in a mint green sports bra before treating herself to a teeth whitening session. The singer 31 had on a matching set of crop top and tight leggings as she took some time out after working up a sweat before treating herself to a UV teeth whitening session. Rita accessorized her look with a selection of statement gold necklaces and flashed the tattoos on her upper arm as she lied on her back for a quick moment. And then there's this photo of her with that like thing that makes you look like the smile girly from the smile poster that like spreads your mouth out and it's being sprayed with UV.
Oh my
God. Have you seen this photo?
Don't say the smile girly to me
at
all. Don't
forget the teeth whitening.
Yeah, this is insane. Only she can take a chic photo of her mouth like with the teeth whitening materials on it and in like the glasses.
I can't get my teeth whitened.
This is very like Tyra would be like, yes, she's like she's smizing. It's like sure. Like I can see all her gums.
This is
you know?
The opposite of smizing because she can't really smile with her eyes here because they're under like very, very opaque red sunglasses to prevent from the UV rays or whatever.
Yeah.
But the smile is doing a lot of work.
She just really just does not stop. I mean, the woman was literally married and yet I'm still seeing photos of her like in pink tub, you
yes.
know?
Yes. And we're done. Thank you for listening to another episode of Who Weekly. Keep calling in at 619-WHO-THEM to leave questions, comments, and concerns for our Friday show, Who's There? Support us on patreon.com/WhoWeekly for bonus episodes, occasional newsletters, a Discord server. We love doing movie commentaries as well. You know, all sorts of stuff. Thank you to Katie and Eric of The Who's for providing our Rita theme song. Thank you to Timmy, our research and editorial assistant, for researching and editorializing. And we'll see you on Friday. Bye. Oh, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We haven't asked you to do that in a while. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We love your ratings and reviewings. Bye.
Bye.
You will drain us.
To be famous.